Good morning. It is 10 a.m., August 7, 2025. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugenhoffert and Commissioner Jill Kringstad. So we have a quorum. And before we do anything else, would you please stand and join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. I wasn't going to have any opening comments till about 2 or 3 minutes ago when Stacy had her exuberant go team comment. And so now I'm just going to highlight this because at least on the western side of the state has not been getting enough publicity. And I'm not much of an expert on this, so I hope my facts are at least close. But the North Dakota's Little League team, which I think is like 10 to 12 years old, they're in what I think is kind of a regional championship deal, like in Indiana or somewhere. And they're undefeated so far. They beat South Dakota yesterday, came from two runs behind and beat them. And so today, South Dakota and Nebraska have a play-in game to see who plays us for the championship tomorrow on ESPN. And then the winner to the Little League World Series, I guess it would be. So hats off to our North Dakota Little Leaguers. Commissioner Haugenhoffert. And by the way, they're from Fargo. So okay. I did see something about it in the Fargo Forum.
I can't top that, so I have no opening comments.
Commissioner Craig said?
Yeah, I do have some opening comments, mostly just to bring forth some news that happened last week. So last week, some of you may have seen North Dakota filed a complaint with four other states at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, regarding MISO's transmission project planning. This commission has had many discussions about the latest round of transmission projects. We've sometimes referred to those as Tranche 2.1, and that's 24 different projects with an estimated cost of $22 billion. Our concern and what we outline in the complaint is that MISO has built a business case to justify these projects using benefit calculations that we believe are overstated, and so the costs are unjust and unreasonable to North Dakota utility customers. This is about the third round of transmission planning that MISO has done. The metrics that MISO chose to use for the first two rounds are not the same benefit metrics that we see now for Tranche 2.1. So it's a deviation from the benefit metrics that were used in the past. And our concern is that most of the need behind this business case is so some states and utilities can achieve their renewable energy goals. And here in North Dakota, and our legislature has made it clear that we do not share those same goals, and so our ratepayers should not be subsidizing those costs. Now, we're not, at least speaking from my perspective, I'm not saying that these projects shouldn't be built, but just that the states and utilities that need them should be paying for them. And throughout this entire process at MISO, this was all approved by the MISO board at the end of last year. So this would have been Commissioner Fedorchak, now Congresswoman Fedorchak, and our staff were very vocal on behalf of our state about the concerns that we were seeing during the stakeholder process, and that our concerns just were not adequately addressed. The MISO also has an independent market monitor who weighs in on specifically issues like this that have impacts on markets and shared a lot of our same concerns. So unfortunately, we made our way through the process as best we could, and this is sort of the last option available to us. FERC has authority over MISO's tariffs, similar to how we have authority over our utilities in North Dakota. So what we're asking them for is just an objective review of the process in order to protect our ratepayers. So I really want to thank our staff who led the charge in this, specifically Adam, Victor, and Rob for all of their hard work. Stacy helped put together a press release that I think just went out this morning with additional information. So thank you all for your hard work on this. There will certainly be more to come, and I can go into this. I think could be a broader discussion between all of us, so I won't get into a lot of detail now, but we can afterwards and offline if there's any additional questions. But more to come on this for sure. Go ahead.
I will say I sure thank you for your efforts on that. I think MISO has really pulled an egregious maneuver here and exaggerating things way beyond reasonableness. And if it's allowed to proceed, it's going to cost North Dakota consumers a whole lot of money. And so I think this is the absolute right thing to do, to pursue this FERC complaint case. And frankly, it is so egregious that I'm pretty confident that we prevail.
Well, Commissioner Kringstad, you wrapped it up very well. And I think my concern is the matrix that has been used. It's moved. What they found as a matrix in tranche one was not the same matrix in tranche 2.0. And that really concerns me. And it concerns me that they tried to move it to meet state goals, state strong decarbonization rules. And I don't think it's fair to North Dakota ratepayers to pay for other states' policy goals. So I appreciate everyone's effort in this FERC complaint. There was a lot of work that went into it, and I appreciate it, but it was the decision we had to make to protect our ratepayers.
Okay. We have six items on the consent calendar. I move approval of the consent items and the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then getting into the regular agenda, I move the commission approve and formally adopt the changes proposed to the revegetation success standards document for demonstrating reclamation success on surface coal mined lands in North Dakota.
Second.
So our reclamation division has proposed updates to four sections of the pre- and post-mining vegetative assessments document. This is a document, it's a policy document, and it was initially developed and approved in the late 1980s. It's been periodically updated. The most recent update was in 2022. This particular update provides an alternative source for cropland, hayland, and tame pasture land county yield data for the purpose of demonstrating revegetation success. And I'll explain that here as we go. It also updated the ecological site and forage suitability group tables. So as for these yield data, currently the only data source available for demonstrating revegetation success is from the North Dakota Ag Statistics Service. And those are gathered through voluntary farmer reports. This data provided a consistent alternative for decades, starting in the 50s. However, since 2010, some yearly crop data in Oliver and Mercer counties, where the bulk of our coal mining is done, have not been provided due to insufficient farmer participation because, as I said, it's voluntary. In 2024 now, no data will be published statewide due to a lack of funding. So the absence of this data has hindered the ability of mines in North Dakota to demonstrate revegetation success for bond release because they have nothing to compare to. So we recognize that mines may use controller reference areas to demonstrate revegetation success, but we also acknowledge that the Ag Statistics Service county yield data has been their preferred alternative. So our reclamation division went to work, and they identified USDA Risk Management Agency as another source for yield data, and I'm going to refer to that as RMA, the Risk Management Agency. So RMA provides crop insurance to producers throughout the United States and collects yield data from these producers. This data is compiled and released to the public annually, similar to how Ag Statistics Service releases their data. However, unlike the Ag Statistics Service, the yield data provided by RMA is not voluntary, and all the yields must be reported, with a few very limited exceptions. So the RMA is also responsible for identifying and prosecuting crop insurance fraud, and so the reliability of its data is not in question. So adding that as a possible source of the information that's needed for comparative analysis, and the changes were sent to industry and other interested parties, including the Office of Surface Mining, for formal review and comment on May 8th. We've received no comments, and the 30-day comment period ended on June 9th. So the Reclamation Division requests approval of this change, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission adopt the order and notice of violation number 2501 issued to Westmoreland Beulah Mining LLC at the Beulah Mine to affirm the violation, assess a civil penalty, and close the case upon payment of the penalty. In Westmoreland Beulah Mining LLC, motion of violation 2501, violation case number RC-25-192.
Second.
So, since the bankruptcy, Westmoreland Beulah Mining LLC is kind of technically different than the former Westmoreland Mine, but for purposes of this discussion, I'm just going to refer to them as Westmoreland. That's enough syllables. So, on May 20th of this year, a notice of violation was served on Westmoreland following an inspection on April 24th and a follow-up inspection on May 7th. It was issued for failure to protect topsoil during suitable plant growth material respread on reclaimed cropland, which resulted in loss of topsoil. The spoil material was mixed with topsoil on about 3.5 acres, so it's not a huge area, but still significant. On April 23rd, so the day before our inspection, Westmoreland met with our Reclamation Division to discuss possible contaminated topsoil on the grade approved area and how this area should be addressed. So to their credit, they brought it up. The area had been contained with silt fence to prevent further contamination, and 4 soil samples were collected by Westmoreland staff. They suggested that all the samples appeared to be topsoil, but they did not have the sample results yet. So following that meeting with Westmoreland, our Reclamation Division conducted its own inspection right away the next day on April 24th. 1 sample of contaminated topsoil was collected and delivered to Missouri Valley Testing for analysis. The Reclamation Division concluded that Westmoreland misrepresented the extent of contamination in the respread topsoil. So a follow-up inspection was conducted on May 7th. Additional samples were taken, and the affected area was flown with a drone to record and take photographs to determine the extent of the contaminated area, another example of the great use of technology that we do here. Samples were taken from 6 sites on that 3.5-acre tract. It was estimated that 1,100 cubic yards of topsoil was affected, and so notice of violation 2501 was issued on May 20th. The remedial actions outlined in the notice of violation required Westmoreland to contain the area to prevent further contamination on adjacent areas, remove the apparent spoil material, and provide the quantity of contaminated topsoil. Westmoreland was also required to submit a revegetation plan. They complied with all the remedial actions outlined in the violation order and did so within the required timelines. So now the commission needs to assess a civil penalty and adopt an order in this matter. The PSC considers 4 factors in determining the amount of a civil penalty in these cases. The four are the history of previous violations, the seriousness, whether negligence was involved, and whether there was good faith in attempting to achieve compliance. So we can assess a penalty of up to $3,500 per day based on the history of previous violations by the operator. And a penalty for history is usually not assessed unless more than three violations are issued within 3 years. That's been our pattern. This is the third NOV that Westmoreland has received within the past 3 years. However, Notice of Violation 2201 was issued May 25th, 2022. So it's just a couple days from being outside of that three-year window. So they barely met this threshold. But they did, and therefore a penalty assessment based on history, I believe, is warranted. And this order proposes $2,500. We can also assess a civil penalty of up to $3,500 per day based on the seriousness of the violation. And the contaminated topsoil cannot be replaced. It's contaminated. And so a penalty based on seriousness, I believe, is warranted. This order proposes $2,000 on seriousness. We can assess a civil penalty of up to $3,000 per day based on the degree of fault of the permittee. And Westmoreland should have noticed that the spoil-like material with topsoil was being respread, and the work should have been stopped immediately. So a penalty for negligence, I believe, is warranted, and this order proposes $1,500 for the negligence. And the fourth factor, we can deduct up to $1,000 per day from the civil penalty if the permittee takes extraordinary measures to abate the violation. But no deduction is made if it's for normal compliance. And the compliance in this case was considered to be normal, and therefore no deduction for extremely good effort is warranted, in my opinion. So the results in the proposed penalty for this violation total $6,000 per day as the order is drafted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And lastly, we'll jump to a topic other than coal mining. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for comment in Quest Corporation, designated eligible carrier, partial relinquishment, application case number PU-25-233.
Second.
So on August 1st, Quest requested relinquishment of its designation as an ETC, an eligible telecommunications carrier, for the Leonard Exchange, which is southwest of Fargo. Quest was designated as ETC for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support in North Dakota December 17th of 1997, so almost 30 years ago. Then it was under the name of U.S. West Communications. That was subsequently merged with Quest. Under federal law, the commission can permit a carrier to relinquish its ETC designation for an area served by more than one eligible telecommunications carrier. We can't leave an area unserved. Prior to permitting a carrier to cease providing universal service in the area, we must require that the remaining carrier or carriers ensure that all customers served by the relinquishing carrier will continue to be served and must require sufficient notice to permit the purchase or construction of adequate facilities by those remaining carriers, if that's the case. So we will receive written comments in this proceeding until close of business on October 10th of this year.
We have a motion and a... Do we have a second on this one?
Yeah. Jill.
Me.
I'm sorry. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Lucky there was a second, right? I had to rule myself out of order.
Somehow I missed it.
Would I overrule you ruling yourself out of order?
That concludes my portfolio, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of public hearing in Northern States Power Company 2025 electric rate increase application case number PU 24-376.
Second.
On December 2nd, NSP filed a notice of change in rates for its electric service. NSP proposes a $44.556 million or 19.34% increase in its annual North Dakota electric revenues. Interim rates subject to refund were approved on January 8, 2025. We have set a public hearing scheduled to begin December 1st, 2025 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room. Petitioners to intervene are governed by the North Dakota Administrative Code, and the Commission does encourage anyone wishing to become a party of this proceeding to file a petition to intervene as early in the process as possible. We are encouraging anyone wishing to become a party should file a petition to intervene by October 15th, 2025. And just to recap, this is a very large increase. I think the largest increase this commission has seen in electric rate case. Excuse me. I just want to emphasize what they say are the primary drivers, as laid out by NSP for this rate case, are capital investments in electric generation, transmission and distribution system, increased operation and maintenance expense, and increased depreciation. So again, we will start this public hearing on this rate case beginning December 1st here at the CAP in this room.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And you mentioned the December 1st hearing. Am I remembering correctly? I think, did we block off that whole week except for Wednesday morning?
Have a commission meeting. So,
but otherwise, that could last kind of throughout that week, right?
Correct.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-25-225.
Second.
On July 16th, MDU filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment rates to reflect updated electric transmission revenue and costs. Among these costs are charges for transmission-related services provided by MISO and SPP. And the projected net transmission-related costs, including the transmission revenues from a large electric consumer taking service under MDU's rate 45. The effects of this rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 800 kilowatt per month is an increase of $3.13 per month or $37.56 per year, proposed to be effective on December 1st. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are, do the investments and related costs for the new and modified electric transmission facilities qualify for recovery? Do the proposed rates comply with the tariff, and are the proposed rates just and reasonable? Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 19th, 2025, and if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Kringstad.
Thank you. So I have three items on the agenda. They're all related to siting. So I'm in my first order, I'm going to go over a lot of the things, you know, as far as like the laws, the rules, what were in our notices. I can certainly repeat them for the other two if needed, but just to sort of set the stage for that, that in order to keep us moving and not get too repetitive, I'll go through it in detail once and then hopefully move it along. Unless people would like to hear me talk more, I certainly can. So first, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Bison Generation Station, Williams County, citing application, case number PU-25-86.
Second.
Thank you. On March 5th, 2025, Basin Electric Power Cooperative filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for the Bison Generation Station. On May 8th, the commission deemed the application complete and scheduled a public hearing for June 30th in Williston, North Dakota. The notice identified three issues to be considered. Again, before I get into them, these will be the same for the next two orders, so I probably won't repeat them. But the first issue in the notice was, will the location and operation of the proposed facility produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Second, is the proposed facility compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And finally, will the proposed facility location minimize adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? The proposed project will be located on approximately 240 acres in Williams County, 1 mile south of Highway 2 between Epping and Wheelock. The project will be a natural gas-fired combined cycle power plant consisting of two combined cycle generation units with an expected capacity of up to 745 megawatts per unit. So in total, 1,490 total megawatts for the entire proposed project. Each unit includes a combustion turbine generator, heat recovery steam generator, steam turbine generator, and an air-cooled condenser. Natural gas for the project will be transported by WBI Energy. The first unit is planned to be constructed by October 2028 with commercial operation in February or March of 2029. And then the second unit is planned to be constructed by November 2029 with commercial operation in March 2030. The estimated project cost is $3.68 billion. Basin Electric conducted field surveys to identify natural resources such as wetlands, grasslands, and protected habitat in the project site. They initiated correspondence seeking comment regarding the project from 35 federal, state, and local agencies enumerated in North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-06-01-05, as well as the Williams County Commission. Basin Electric also conducted a cultural resource field inventory and sound study that were submitted and found acceptable by the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, also known as SHPO. Basin Electric surveys did not record any exclusion or avoidance areas within the project site, and they testified that they will take all reasonable measures to mitigate noise impacts to adjacent landowners. Basin Electric and its contractors will develop and utilize a storm water pollution protection plan, emergency action plan, spill contingency plan, and unanticipated discovery plan. Therefore, finding the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. The project is compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources, and the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project will minimize adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. The commission orders a certificate of site compatibility be issued to Basin Electric Power Cooperative for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the proposed facility. I support this order, and I hope that my fellow commissioners will join me. This project, I think, is noteworthy for several reasons. It's going to be the first wind-built combined cycle in North Dakota, and it's also, once constructed, will be the largest single plant in the state. So I know when When we issued a notice of hearing for this case, Commissioner Crispin, you had mentioned that it's been a very long time since we had an application for baseload power. And I think at a time when we are seeing huge increased demand growth for power across our nation, at the same time, certain states are retiring dispatchable power at an unprecedented rate, having resources like this come online is just critically important. So well done to the company for a very thorough application.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
You can go first this time.
Well, I was just going to comment, when you look at this project and how big it is, we received the application on March 5th, and here we are today approving it. That's about a six-month time period. So that, to Commissioner Kringstad's comment, that goes to the applicant on filing a very thorough application. So I echo your comments, Jill, on that. That's all I have.
I agree with that it was a well-put-together application, and I feel like they really found a good spot to build something like this. I'm not really envisioning a lot of terrible traffic constraints. You know, they're a mile off of a four-lane highway and are working with DOT and getting turn lanes added. And then the mile into there, there's not a bunch of farms right there that need that road. And so I think they, and there's no residences real, real close either. So I think you're correct, Commissioner Haugenhofer, that it was a well put together application with a good location. I also want to say, though, as quickly as this went, and I'm impressed with the company, I'm pleased with this agency for being able to do it this fast. But I want to specifically mention, when I saw our initial draft of our agenda, I thought you were nuts to think that we were going to be voting on this today, because I didn't believe I could be ready. And I want to commend Brian Johnson. He has worked diligently, and I have all of my legal questions answered, and I'm presuming that sounds like you too do too. So thank you for that. But I initially, when I saw it, I thought, like, well, I'm pulling that if one of the others doesn't, because there's no way we can get this all done on time with just one lawyer here. And so thank you for that, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
I also want to, you know, emphasize that you had mentioned, Commissioner, that this is huge. You know, I think that the Spiritwood facility was probably not cited. That's probably why it's 99 megawatts, I think. At the time, 100 was maybe the limit. Or I wasn't at the commission at the time. So I think this is the first baseload generation facility sited in 45 years. And it is vitally needed. Our energy usage has expanded dramatically. It's going up in the right place. It's going to use natural gas, which is going to help North Dakota's oil industry. Great deal, and I think it's going to be good for the people up there. There'll be a few construction snafus along the way, I imagine. There always is on a big project like this, but it's going to create a lot of jobs, a lot of economic things, and frankly, for the Epping area, it's probably going to be the biggest thing to happen since they were in the state championship basketball game in 1977.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Highland Crude LLC Gullickson Reroute Pipeline Project, citing application case number PU-25-83.
Second.
Thank you. On March 3rd, 2025, Highland Crude filed a combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit to locate and construct an 8-inch crude oil pipeline in McKenzie County, North Dakota. On June 4th, the commission deemed the application complete, and a public hearing was held on July 3rd in Watford City. The notice identified the following issues to be considered with respect to the application. Those are what I previously mentioned regarding producing minimal adverse effects and compatibility with the environmental preservation. So this proposed pipeline, known as the Gullickson Reroute Pipeline Project, is 3.4 miles long and will connect two existing crude oil pipelines owned and operated by Highland. The proposed pipeline will have a maximum operating pressure of 1,440 psi, a maximum design capacity of 80,000 barrels per day, and an anticipated in-service date of November 2025. The estimated cost of the project is approximately $9.5 million. Highland initiated correspondence with federal, state, and local agencies regarding the project, including U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Army Corps of Engineers, North Dakota Game and Fish, NDSHPO, Department of Water Resources, McKinsey County Commission, and the McKinsey County Weed Control Board. The commission has established siting criteria in North Dakota Century Code Section 49-22.1-03. This criteria includes exclusion and avoidance areas. So an exclusion area, by definition in the law, may be located within a corridor, but may not encompass more than 50% of the corridor width unless there is no reasonable alternative, and a route must not be sited within an exclusion area. There are two exclusion areas noted. First is a state archaeological site within the corridor. Highland has identified one archaeological site and is coordinating with SHPO to determine the eligibility of this site and also discuss potential mitigation or avoidance plans if necessary. The second exclusion area are areas critical to threatened or endangered animals. U.S. Fish and Wildlife designated piping plover habitat that is located roughly half a mile from the project corridor along the Missouri River. Highland consulted with U.S. Fish and Wildlife along with North Dakota Game and Fish to avoid impacts to these habitats. Then the next criteria is avoidance areas. An avoidance area cannot be considered in the routing of a transmission facility unless there is no reasonable alternative. There are two avoidance areas in the project corridor. Highland identified one area of historical resources not specifically designated as an exclusion or avoidance area. Highland testified that the project route avoids this area and no impacts are anticipated. Water sources for organized rural water districts are also considered avoidance areas. The Western Area Water Supply Authority, or WAWSA, has a project that is located within the corridor. Highland testified that the project route does not cross any of the WAWSA mapped water lines. Highland testified that it will employ horizontal directional drilling to cross any wetlands and water bodies to avoid impacts to those features. They will implement a weed management plan for controlling noxious weeds, stormwater pollution prevention plan, dust control plan, and waste management plan. The project will have a leak detection system, and Highland will conduct regular pipeline monitoring, periodic inspection, internal inspections, and foot patrol inspections as required by the U.S. Department of Transportation regulations. Therefore, finding the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of citizens of North Dakota. The project is compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources, and the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project minimizes adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. Highland Certificate of Corridor Compatibility and Route Permit is approved, and I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I was waiting for the finding of facts that as everyone who was in attendance there survived with no air conditioning. But well laid out. Again, I'm going to bring forth the time period on this application, not only to the companies, but to our staff who works very diligently on getting things done. We had a turnaround again in March when they filed, and here we are in August within, you know, a six-month period of time making a decision. So not only to the applicant, but to the staff who works very hard on moving things along. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. And then my last agenda item, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Highland Crude LLC Highland Express Spine Pipeline Project, citing application case number PU-25-84.
Second.
Thank you. So when we had both the public hearing for this, we actually consolidated the public hearing for this project with the previous order. So as I'm going through this, if the dates and the places all sound familiar, that would be why. So on March 3rd, 2025, Highland Crude filed a combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the location and construction of a 10-inch steel natural gas liquids pipeline in McKenzie County. On June 4th, the commission deemed the application complete, and a public hearing was held on July 3rd in Watford City. The proposed pipeline, known as the Highland Express Spine Pipeline Project, is 28.1 miles long, will have a maximum operating pressure of 1,440 psi, a maximum design capacity of 80,000 barrels per day, and an anticipated in-service date of March 2026. The estimated cost of the project is approximately $37.2 million. Highland initiated correspondence with federal, state, and local agencies regarding the project, including those I previously mentioned. I also previously defined exclusion and avoidance areas, so I won't go through those definitions again. But there is one exclusion area in this project. Highland identified one state archaeological site within the corridor that will not be crossed by the project route, and so no impacts are anticipated. There were also three avoidance areas that were identified by Highland. First, areas within 500 feet of a residence, school, or place of business are considered avoidance areas. Highland testified there are five areas where the route is located within 500 feet of a residence, place of business, or other occupied structure. But Highland has obtained setback waivers from those landowners of each of those locations. Geologically unstable areas are considered avoidance areas. Highland identified landslide deposits within the corridor, but testified that the project route does not cross any of the identified landslide deposits. And finally, water sources for organized rural water districts are considered avoidance areas. The Western Area Water Supply Authority, WASA, as I mentioned last time, has a project located within the corridor. Highland testified that the project route does cross some water lines at road crossings and that they will obtain crossing approvals as part of the road crossing permit process, and no impacts to those water lines are anticipated. As in the previous case, Highland testified that it will employ horizontal directional drilling to cross any wetlands and water bodies to avoid impacts to those features. They will implement a weed management plan for controlling noxious weeds, stormwater pollution prevention plan, dust control plan, and waste management plan. As with the last project, it will have a leak detection system, and Highland will conduct regular pipeline monitoring, periodic inspection, internal inspection, and foot patrol inspections as required by U.S. Department of Transportation regulations. Therefore, finding the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. The project is compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources, and the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project minimizes adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity, and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. Highland Certificate of Corridor Compatibility and Route Permit is approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those Opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Before we go to the administrative portion of the meeting, we will recess and take questions from the press. But before that, a few announcements, and I'm not just highlighting some things. There's some changes from what was printed here. At least I think there will be. So this afternoon, it's as printed. We have a very busy afternoon. We have two separate informal hearings. One is with Northern States Power and their deferred accounting. That's case PU24-378. Then at 3 o'clock, another one, and there's actually two different cases involved there, but it's the same issue. Lindahl Wind, which is PU15-482, and Aurora Wind, which is PU-18-352. They're up north of Williston, north of Tioga, that area, kind of adjacent to one another. And their light mitigation system is, I think it's fair to say, it's not working as it was supposed to work. And they've struggled with it, and we're bringing them in to discuss the status of that and what has been done and what can be done. Then moving forward, our next regular commission meeting is scheduled for 3 weeks from yesterday on August 27th. When we get to the administrative portion of the meeting, I'm going to be requesting that that be changed. And on that day, on the 27th, we have our meeting in the morning. And then we have an informal with Red River Communications in the afternoon. I'm going to be requesting that we change them both. The meeting date that I'm going to propose, but you'll have to follow and see how it turns out, it would be a week before, either on Wednesday the 20th or on Thursday the 21st. Red River can't be ready that soon. And so they've given us some suggested dates in April. I'll lay them out in the administrative portion of the meeting and see what we can put together on that. But I just did want to highlight that basically I will be proposing that everything listed on the 27th is going to get moved around. So you'll have to watch.
When was the proposed? You said April.
For the meeting or the informal?
Yeah, the informal. You said they proposed some dates?
In September, I meant.
Oh, September.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just like, wow.
No. not quite that far out.
Oh, yeah, like, wow.
So I'll lay those out in the informal. That's all the announcements I have. Anyone else have any other announcements? Okay, we will stand and recess and take some questions from the press.